Christian greetings to each one this morning, coming together in the house of the Lord, and I greet you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who gave himself for you and I, for each one. We are grateful, I am so grateful, as Henry just made mention of the past week, how God worked in me and in, I think, all of you others as well that were involved in our preparatory service and the communion service. So I praise God for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And so why are we here this morning? I mean, yeah, we had an extra hour to sleep, but I didn't get that hour. I got up at 4 o'clock. And I just felt the Lord waking me up, and I needed to do some studying. I usually don't wait to do the studying. We need to preach from our studies, not necessarily just study the preach. But we thank God for his goodness and his greatness in us when we surrender to him. And I was so blessed with the covenant that John explained. Brother John Lapp from Pennsylvania explained to us, if I say it right, that this thing of the work that God has done and the work that he has done in us and doing in us and the work that he did when he made that covenant with the children of Israel. And on back, he just explained it all, and I really appreciated that. I was blessed, and he'd come all the way down to the cross of Jesus, the cross where Jesus hung on and shed his blood, the blood of the covenant, the new covenant. And so this is where we are at today if we are clinging to the hand of Jesus and walking in his ways, in his footsteps even, if you would. And so I don't know how many of you get the Christian Contender. Yeah. And I'm going to, the greatness of God, I'm just going to go through some of that this morning from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And I really appreciate our young people and the little children. It just makes me feel like this is so wonderful. I remember back when I was a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, and just had a free life. But I have grown up somehow. But that's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that has worked in me. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto all, unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. If I can finish that. For it is written, as is it written, the just shall live by faith. The just. Those that really come to God. And I just want to start here in, if you turn to chapter 40 of Isaiah. And there's a brother that name's Frederick Knepp. And he has, he has explanations for a number of these verses in chapter 40 in exclaiming the great God, in broadening out what all God really means in some of these expressions. If you want a title for the message, it's the title, Hast Thou Not Known? Well, many of us know a lot. We know how God wants us to live and to do and to bring glory and honor to his name. But sometimes we miss. Sometimes we fail, unfortunately. But we can come back to Jesus and cling to him. Plead forgiveness because of the shed blood of Calvary. And that's how we get our salvation. Salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. And sometimes we just fail to stay in order. So here we have in verse 25. I'm just going to break in there. Verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Now he's talking about God, this Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. To whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by names and by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Let's just think on these things. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, nor is there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail, or fall, excuse me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall, shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful expression of our great God. And so, I'm going to move over to some of the expressions that Brother Frederick has shared with us. And hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Now, Isaiah asks us a challenging question here. Have we not known and heard of this great God? Of course we have heard and known of this great God that made heaven and earth and that destroyed the earth with the great flood, Noah's flood. And yet the earth dried away and they started anew with Noah's family. Well, we hardly know how to answer this great God, where did he come from? And it says here that we have heard, and yet it seems so far beyond our understanding. And so we need more understanding. We need to just draw closer to God. We have known, and yet we wonder how much our knowing is only the head knowledge and not the heart. And so we want to take this in consideration, the everlasting, eternal God, eternal from eternity past and eternity future, no beginning. People say that's can't be, God isn't there, you know, there's nothing there. Well, it's difficult to understand how he became to where he was, you know, or We just let that to God, don't we? We just let Him show us what He is and how He wants us to be in this life. The everlasting God, from eternity past to eternity future, no beginning or end. How do we begin to understand such a great God? We cannot understand things that have no beginning. Everything we have and are had a beginning, but not God. So we know God is real. We just trust in it. We don't have to see Him. We can feel Him. We know that He is there. I know our world is going bad. They don't even believe in God, and they mock God, or the people that believe in God. And so the Lord Jesus, He is the Son of God. He has went to Calvary, and we thank Him for such a great salvation, who endured the cross. Yes, endured the shame and whatever, the shame of the cross, and came back. And it's because of Him that we have this salvation, this eternal salvation. And no one will take it from us if we cling to God, this great God. This is something we understand well, is the Lord. We can understand the Lord Jesus better, can't we? Because we know He's God's Son. And we know His beginning. We know when He was born. We believe the Bible. And we believe that He was the Son of God and always will be the Son of God. And He is the one that has redeemed us through His own precious blood. And so we know the Lord well, or do we? Well, we want to get to know Him better by studying His Word, by praying and being one of His children, and He will never let us down. Who does not grasp the idea of a Lord, a King who rules all over His hand with a rod of iron? We have a certain prophecy of Jesus that He will rule with an iron hand or an iron rod or whatever. The idea is very clear. The portent is not so pleasant. Now, the word portent was a new word for me, but it's the something that foreshadows a coming event. The portent is not so pleasant. We must either bow down or be bound. We must bow down to our great God and let Him use us, let Him fill us, and our young children, our youth, and everything. Let us take heed in these things. And excuse me. And he goes on here further and says, "We the creator of the ends of the earth." Yes, we know God by the power of the spoken word. We know that there is a God. We have seen it. We have felt it. But we've never saw Him. But He's there. And He wants to be with us. He wants us, every one of us, to come home to glory, to be with Him forever and ever. Yes, we know God by the power of the spoken word, and made the world and all that is in them. And the crowning touch of the gentle formation of Adam with the dust. He took some dust and made Adam. And we believe that too. A lot of people don't. But we believe that. We know that God did that. because we're convinced. And then also, he made Eve of Adam's rib. How wonderful can it be? How great our God is. Hast thou not known? We want to learn more of him, don't we? We treasure the thought that God, in breathing into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and thus giving the body of clay a living soul. A living soul. And so, that was one that he could fellowship with. And so it goes on. The fellowship with God. Fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith we accept all this. Yeah, we believe it. And God, we wonder, but we know. The fellowship with him. By faith we accept all this as the truth. Even when we wonder how it is possible. We have surrendered all, brethren and sisters, and he is in charge. And so it goes on with the God fainteth not. Is that maybe in verse, I read some of that. He fainteth, neither is he weary. This we cannot comprehend any better than his eternity. Because of the curse of sin, we find ourselves fainting, weary, before the day has scarcely begun. Is it really possible that our God does not face this same scourge? We know, yes, we know, but there is no searching of his understanding. That's some expression of there is no searching of his understanding as Isaiah was saying here. Let's go on here with, he says here that we are already, excuse me, I think I missed some here. After all, we have many problems that seem to have no answers. Is God's wisdom really deep enough for them all? Yes, I think we're allowed to say yes. He takes care of us. He wants to take care of us. He wants us to be his special children. They are all special that turn to God. God's wisdom, really deep enough for all this? Is it really? Oh, yes, it is. We know. And that is what we have been taught. We were taught. Mom and Dad taught us, and all your parents, I'm sure, taught you of the seriousness of trusting in the Lord, of living for him as you grow up and not turn to the world. And so we are almost ready to turn away. We have heard all this time and time again, but it seems just a bit out of our reach. We suppose we must just keep on doing the best that we know, the best that we know how. God will open those doors. God will help us through these calamities and through these hard times. God will help. Somehow he will help us on through. And then we glance to the next verse here. He giveth power to the faint. If you're kind of fainting, he will give power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Not only does God not faint or become weary, he has extra power and strength for you and I, that we can continue on to serve him. What a blessed thought. This is just what we need. Yes, we need the power of God. We need his hand on us. And even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Well, we need no insurance of this truth. The older ones look to youth as a time of great zeal, strength, and courage. Yes, we are. And I find out I'm not as strong as I was when I was a youth. We know that even the youth has the strength has a limit, but we begin to wonder what the writer had in mind. He understood human frailty. Even while pointing out an unlimited God, eagerly we read on. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Isn't that wonderful? It is so great. Shall renew their strength, they that wait on the Lord. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A greater God we couldn't desire. Even that God that we never know how he existed, we trust, we know. And here is somewhere to renew our strength, to continue fighting the battles in our lives. Here is the miraculous power to rise above the unpleasant circumstances in our lives. We can rise up. As the songwriter says, rise up, O men of God. Yes. Here is the endurance. We so desperately need to make it safely through to glory, the power of God. We do not have that power ourselves. Here is the endurance that we desperately need to go through those unpleasant circumstances and be able to come home to glory with our Lord. Then he says here in his words, Brother Frederick, then our foreheads wrinkle in consternation. How do we get this strength? We read the verse again. But they that wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we just want to go right on. We forget that God is so eager to help us, and we try to get on with our own strength. May God help us to realize and find out that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that is he is our strength. He is our righteousness. He is our Savior. And it says here that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so to wait on the Lord. Yeah, that is how it comes about. Wait on the Lord. Don't run out ahead of the Lord. And also, hold still. Be still and know that I am God. We need a close connection through Jesus Christ to God. We want to wait on the Lord. And it comes from God. Looking back, we are reminded that God gives power to the faint and the weary. But upon closer examination, we see something more. We must wait on the Lord to receive that strength. We must wait on the Lord and realize that we have nothing of ourselves. We have nothing of ourselves. It is only through His power, through His love, through His giving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and to move on until we are with Him. Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I suppose most of you know that verse by heart. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I'm sorry, I didn't give a verse. Well, that was verse 10 in chapter 40. Sorry about that. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Yes, they shall seek thee. There's a lot of people out there would like to destroy us. They don't believe in God, and they hate to see us Christians having a wonderful time at church and praising God and singing and so forth. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even that contended, them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Yes, God is there to help us and to strengthen us. And we want to just praise God for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. So, hast thou not known? Yes, we know in part. But you know, then we shall know even as we are known. And so we just want to stay close with God and not be wandered off and not be so earthly minded that we don't do any good on the earth. And be always heavenly minded to shine on the earth for good. But let's trust the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I want to thank you for your prayers. And this chapter, or this part, portion of chapter is so wonderful that God, even in our undoneness, came and helps us to carry on, the everlasting God, eternal in the heavens. And may we trust and continue on . Brethren and sisters, let us love one another. Even if some other people don't quite see the things the way we do, let us love one another as Christ has loved us, and be grateful, be loving and kind and considerate, and compassionate as Jesus. Have those attributes in our lives that they shine forth, and we are helping each other on the journey from earth to heaven. God be praised for being such a God. And Paul, in his prayer for the saints, chapter 1 of Ephesians 15 to 23, I think I'll just turn to that in closing. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. Wherefore, I also... Yeah, well, he is talking about the earnest of the Spirit and how that is something that leads us on, something the earnest of the Spirit, which is our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And now, Paul says, in behalf of the Ephesians, you know, he's concerned about them. Not that they might be freed from persecution, nor that they might possess the riches, honors, and pleasures of the world. Brothers and sisters, let's not look into the world, but let's look unto Jesus. Paul was concerned that they would possess riches and honor, or that they would not have just be interested in those riches and honors or pleasures of the world. But the great thing he prays for is the illumination of their understanding our great God, and that their knowledge might increase and abound. He means it of a practical and experimental knowledge. The graces and comforts of the Spirit are communicated to the soul by the enlightening of the understanding. In this way, he gains and keeps possession. Yes, he keeps possession. Now listen to this. Satan takes a contrary way. He gets possession by senses and passions, but Christ by understanding. Let's remember those things, and let us surrender our all to our Lord Jesus Christ and let him have his way, that he might continue to take us home. I think that's all I'm going to share today. There's be much more to say, but I thank you for your prayers and your attentiveness. May we kneel for closing prayer.